Chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings and goodness. And Lord, it's so wonderful, Christmas time now, especially knowing you, dear God. Once you become a Christian, it means so much more. And Father, we do thank you. We praise you. We think of the greatest gift in all the world, your Son, given to us to become our salvation, our Savior. And Father, we thank you. We do praise you for that. And Lord, I pray that you would help me and fill me with your Spirit to minister the word to your dear people here tonight. Pray for my dear wife in the classroom next door, and fill her with your Spirit as she teaches the deaf ladies there. Heavenly Father, edify your church tonight. Some could not be here tonight. Help them, I pray, and be with them, each one, dear God. And Father, might we draw closer to you, and might our hearts be laying hold on eternal life, and looking forward to that time when you will it will be the time for you to come, and may our hearts be ready. Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, Brother Brian, I might be done tonight. Yes, I'm not going to be done tonight. So it'll be at least one more, maybe two more. We'll see how it goes through this series here. So, all right, love makes burdens light. And we saw last week, oops, I hit the right button, that would be good, that we are to love enough to restore in the family of God. We're to love enough to restore brothers and sisters that may have fallen away in some manner. And that responsibility comes with an exhortation of caution. The end of the verse 1 says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And that could mean several things. But it certainly means that this ministry reconciliation, this restoring, is to be preceded by spiritual introspection. Are we the ones to be helping them? And we need to discern that. It says, ye which are spiritual, obviously, if you're having a struggle yourself and your heart's backslidden, then you're not ready to help someone be restored. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. And so we judge ourselves, and that time of introspection. The ministry is to be done in a spirit of love and meekness. We saw that one danger is that a believer may become arrogant. You know, a believer falls, and a believer may become arrogant, thinking that they're better than the one who's fallen. Well, that's going to grieve the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And so they're not going to have the fullness of the Spirit on the restoration process, so that's not going to be the best thing. We certainly wouldn't want that. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. So we need to remember that. We're all prone to pride in some way, and we always have to watch out for that every day. Another danger is that a believer who wants to help may slip into sin himself during the process if not careful. A well-meaning brother or sister might become careless and fall into the same sin. In either case, the works of the flesh will be manifested and serve as a hindrance to the restoration. So, need the fullness of the Spirit there, and need to consider ourselves when we go into that. The word restore here is a strong word. It's katarizo,
kata being an intensifier in front of the word there. And it's translated in multiple ways in the Bible. We find katarizo 13 times. Twice it's translated perfect. Twice it's translated make perfect. Twice it's translated mend. Twice it's translated be perfect. Once it's translated fit. Once it's translated frame. Once it's translated prepare. And here it's one is translated to restore, and once is translated perfectly joined together. All the same word, katarizo. And we find it when Jesus is walking along the shores of Galilee, collecting his disciples. The Bible says, going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. That word mending is that same word. So we get the idea of what this restoration is supposed to do. It's supposed to what? It's supposed to find the weakness and make it stronger. You see that? That's what they were doing with their nets. They were mending their nets. It is to build them up and help them to become stronger. So it means to render, to mend, to complete, to fill out, to equip, to put in order, to arrange, to adjust, to fit or frame, to strengthen. And so we're not just talking about forgiveness. That's certainly needed, and an acceptance of a fallen brother or sister, but helping them become strong so they don't go down that path again. So they get a victory there, and get to go on from there. And so we need to love enough to restore. Where to set my clicker at? There it is. And secondly, we need to love enough to support. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And this is what God has called us to do. Christian liberty, we learn, provides the freedom to choose to do what pleases God. That's what Christian liberty provides. Freedom to choose to do what pleases God. And so because we have the Holy Spirit, we can do that and have some hope of success. Bear one another's burdens. It's interesting, the word burden here is a general word, baros. It's a general word. It just means heaviness, weight, burden, trouble. So it doesn't have something specific like we saw in Isaiah recently. What was it? On the sickness study. That's not. I just had it and lost it. He was wounded for our transgressions, for our iniquities. Isaiah 53. Oh, I'm going to go there now. But this has just a general meaning. Burdensome, and so this could be many things. Could be physical. It could be emotional. It could be a financial burden. It could be in a relationship, and multiple kinds of burdens. Anything that weighs on somebody, many times people go astray in the midst of that weakness while they're carrying a burden. The devil likes to attack when we're weak, tired, wore out, and things aren't going well, perhaps, and. Many times that weakness is the devil sees as an opportune time to tempt us, and we need to be aware of that. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. No doubt here he is talking about the love that Christ preached in John 13:34. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you,
they also love one another. And it's interesting, he says a new commandment. I always think about that when I read that. Why is it a new commandment? It was to love one another, love your neighbor as yourself, was given in the Old Testament. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength was given in the Old Testament. Well, it's new in a couple of ways. It's new because they had just seen it demonstrated like they'd never seen it before. By the way, they just seen it demonstrated like nobody ever seen it or ever will see it before or again. It was demonstrated by Christ. And so they saw it. They got an illustration of what it is to love one another. But then also Jesus knew, they didn't have it yet when he said that, but he knew they would be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And they would have the power that very love they were witnessing and were to follow would be in them. And it would be Christ's love working out through you and I. And he knew that was coming. And so he's telling them, this is a new thing, really, because you're seeing it in me, and guess what? It's going to be in you. And you're going to be able to love your enemies. You're going to be able to love with a love that doesn't have to be a reciprocal love. You're going to have that in you. He says, and I want you to follow me in that. And certainly he did that for sure. James put it this way, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. So James referred to it as the royal law. We talked about Paul last week, mentioned this too. Paul talked about his ministering to going back and forth between Jews and Gentiles and talking about his trips and stuff. And he says in 1 Corinthians 9:21, to them how he ministered, he said, to them that are without law, as without law. He didn't try to talk about the thieves and the Jewish stuff with the Gentiles. He didn't bring that up. He wasn't under the Jewish law, but he did recognize he was still under a law. He said, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. He was under that law of what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love as Christ did. That's the law he was under, the law of love. And that's what Christ has shown us and calls us to. Jesus rebuked those who focused on rule keeping above mercy and love and relationships. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted, here it is, the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, that's just doing justice, right from wrong. Judgment, mercy, that's really the Old Testament word for love. Mercy and faith. These all ye two have done, and not to leave the other undone. Yeah, all the rules. Yeah, do your tithe. Yes, be at the feast. But those aren't the weightier things. The most important things is to do justice, to judgment. Treat the widow right. Don't abuse the widow just because she's poor and doesn't have any money. Do what's just. Don't take bribes. That's important. Mercy, that's love. That love go through you. Faith, of course, that's faith in the promises of God. Faith in the goodness and justice and love and mercy of God. Exercising these things. And Jesus rebuked them because they were leaving those things out, which he considered the weightier matters. And by the way, of the law, he said. They're in the law. They're there. And they're just magnified in Christ. And even I believe he takes us even beyond what the law writes. Could you imagine if God had to write down everything we had to do to love, show we love somebody? I mean, a commandment for everything. I mean, would there be an end to it? I don't think there would be. It's enough that God, who is love, decides to come and dwell in our hearts. And then the Holy Spirit, in each case, can show me how to love that person, can show you how to love that person. Show us as husbands how to love our wives. Show our wives, as wives, how to love their husbands. And the Holy Spirit can teach us and guide us in that. As Christians, we ought to realize that we have burdens that are too big for us to bear. Bear you one another's burdens. And we need to realize that. You know, we often sing, you know, I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot, how's it go? I must do, I cannot bear my burdens alone. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Well, he can. But Jesus has a way that he helps us. And often he has a one another plan to help you and I bear our burdens. That one another plan is found in the Bible. We need one another. How often we see that, and that God has designed that believers are part of a body of believers and minister to one another, that we can help bear one another's burdens. I appreciate Sister Stephanie's testimony and the church helping with the kids. And there's a lot of that goes on back between all the folks. I know that. And I'm thankful for that. That's such a great blessing. The one another bearing. Love one another. Honor one another. These are all found in the scripture. Receive one another. Salute one another. Admonish one another. Greet one another. Serve one another. Consider one another. Bear one another's burdens. Pray for one another. Have the same care one for another. Tarry one for another. Confess our faults one to another. Comfort yourselves together. Edify one another. Submitting yourselves to one another. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. And by the way, that's only those that I found with those words that I chose to look up. You can bet you can find it multiple more ways in there, put in a different way. Many, many times we're to be involved in this one another process. God has designed us for that. Question 12 in your book asks, do you agree that some Christians are too busy to invest time in restoring fallen brothers and sisters? If so, what does that busyness indicate? Anybody? Sister Lynn? That could be. They might be blind to the needs. Yeah. Brother Brian? Cool or cold heart? What Charles is?
Selfish heart.
Selfish, yeah.
Thinking of themselves.
Man. Yeah. It really takes that spirit, doesn't it, to get our eyes lift off ourselves. And by the way, Paul said, though our outer man perish, yet our inner man is renewed day by day. That's one of those renewals that we need day by day, isn't it? To get our eyes off ourselves and on somebody else. That's for sure. And thankful that we can experience that in our lives. Amen. And then questions 13 and 14 ask, why are believers sometimes slow to admit burdens? Well, we'll ask that one first. Why are they sometimes slow to admit burdens? Anybody? Well, Austin?
It kind of has the appearance of being needy and getting on that pride thing that it's hard to say we have a need.
Yeah. Yeah. That's for sure. Alrighty. And then, how might believers learn to share their burdens? Buddy? Bud Dennis?
Just be humble.
Yeah?
Just be willing to just realize you can't do it yourself.
Yes. That it's an edifying thing to realize that we need one another and to admit that we need help. I've gotten a lot of help from folks around here, and I'm thankful for it. I'll tell you that. In all kinds of things, you know, to help around my house and help doing things here and there.
And I'm thankful for that. It's been a great blessing to me. Of course, my wife helps me every day, you know. And we're thankful for good wives here. We, Brother Austin and I, were praying. I was thankful for the marriages here. And I'm thankful. I pray that God keeps molding us together as one, and until we become that, you know, they that are, they're no more twain, but one flesh. Amen. And that's how God wants us to be as husband and wife. Alrighty. Love enough to support those that are in need of that. It's interesting to think about this. The Judaizers wanted the Galatians to accept the burden of the law. They wanted them to put that on and carry that. Paul countered them. He says if they want a burden, then they should. How about bearing one another's burdens in love? How about that? And that's really a very good thought. How we need one another. Ephesians 4:11. God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The body working together. Now I was thinking about what an amazing thing the body is. You know, you reach up and back your head. Stephanie just did that. I was going to use that for illustration. That's funny. You reach up just to scratch the back of your head or something, or you know, your shoulder, whatever it might be. And how many tendons? Some are pulling, some are pushing, some muscles are twisting, and your body takes care of that. Your brain just said, "Hey, scratch your shoulder, you know, scratch your head." Your brain, that's all your brain said, and your body figured out what to do. The brain knows what muscles to move, what tendons to pull, you know, what every little flex, and it's done just like that. Just with a thought. It's an amazing thing. And God works us together perfectly like that. Sometimes we don't understand how all it works together. But each one of us is an example for the other. And it's a blessing to be able to minister one to another. And it's interesting to think about this, and we'll close here tonight and get on a little early. Maybe. If I say the amen before 8 o'clock, that's right. That'd be amazing, huh? The emphasis on love fits well in Galatians. They were being pressed to keep the law. And we saw back in Galatians 5:13-14, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." What's the next verse say? "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now that puts it right back in the Judaizer's face, doesn't it? Listen, the only way you're so worried about the law, listen, if you will concentrate on what Christ said to do and love as he loved, that is the fulfillment of the law. That is what God wants you to do. You know, is to love your neighbor as yourself. And as I mentioned before, the law often takes us what, or as Christ often takes us what, beyond the law, in ministry, and doing those miraculous things that only the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit could do from within a believer. And what a blessing. What a blessing that is. All right, we're going to stop there tonight. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for your church. I'm so blessed to be a part of this church, dear God. And I'm thankful that we can meet together. I'm thankful that your Spirit meets here with us. And God, I'm thankful that we love to come to church. And I know I'm talking to those who do tonight especially. And, And Father, I thank you for that. And I pray you'd help us to continue to grow. And I thank you for the hearts of all our people. I thank you especially for the recent missions conference and the good work that you've done in hearts through that. And continue to direct us and guide us in that, I pray. And Father, help us just to be careful to thank you and praise you. Help us to be a witness and a light for you in the days, whatever days you'd give us. Father, bless our upcoming Christmas party and our celebrations. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.